We want to switch gears here and now talk with Gloria Furman. Gloria has written a book called Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full, and it's a book that deals with the subject of gospel meditations for busy moms. Boy, is that needed in our society today. I was reading through some of the news items associated with motherhood and so forth as we're looking now, turning our attention towards Mother's Day coming up at the end of this week, this Sunday. And as I was looking through a couple of those news stories, I saw there was one news story talking about encouraging moms to put the phone down and telling them, you know, that they were kind of caught up in social media and so forth. And while they were looking at their phones, their children were growing up right there in their presence, and to put that down and concentrate on their children. I saw another news story that was talking about how the idea of more moms are now staying at home, I think, which is an encouraging trend that we see. For decades, the trend has been going in the opposite direction, but there's some new data that has come out that's talking about more moms are deciding to stay at home. And so I think, you know, that's something that's certainly encouraging. Well, Gloria, in her book, it says this. It's published by Crossway, www.crossway.org. Her book is, and it says, moms are busy. They're looking for methods to manage the madness, from grocery shopping to soccer practice. Running a household is exhausting work, sometimes making it hard for mothers to experience joy in the midst of all the craziness of life. As a pastor's wife and a mother of four, Gloria Furman encourages women to refocus and reorient their vision of motherhood in a thoughtful resource for frazzled moms. And that's what we want to talk with her about today. As it mentioned there just a little bit in that intro, she is a mother of four children. She's also a doula and a blogger. And in 2008, her family moved to the Middle East. We were just talking about the Middle East here a moment ago. And they moved there in order to plant Redeemer Church in Dubai. And that's where she's calling for us, calling into the program today to talk with us. Gloria, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule in order to join us for a few moments here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Gloria, tell us a little bit about your book and, you know, why or how it is that you've come to write a book like this about treasuring Christ and pointing moms back to reorient themselves back to the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I became a mother over 7 years ago now, and at the moment, I thought that my relationship with Christ was bound up in the circumstances that I had going for me at the time. At the time, I was a full-time seminary student along with my husband. We both had multiple part-time jobs. We were preparing to move over here to the Middle East to do church planting, and I had a regimented system down. I knew exactly where I would be, at what time, and what passage of scripture I was going to sit in, exactly how long I could sit in that one chair and the cup of coffee next to me, and how long I was able to pray. Basically, there's no interruptions. And so when my first child was born, I was really thrown for a loop because I had kind of relegated Jesus to that easy chair. And I did not have an abiding appreciation for the fact that I'm in Christ and that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and that everywhere I go. So I started wrestling with those things, I think, right there in the hospital of my baby was born.
You just can't script life like that, can you? I mean, it doesn't seem to cooperate and go along with the plans that we have for it.
No, it really doesn't. And sadly, though, I think a lot of us talk about it like it does. We get caught up in the way that we like things, and then when things get thrown. We get thrown for a loop. We're thrown a curveball. We define it by that. That's a curveball. That's different. Instead of this is what the Lord has for me. One of those examples of that would be my husband is physically disabled. He has perfectly healthy arms until we were in seminary that last semester, and he developed ulnar nerve syndrome in both of his elbows. And so it's been 8 years now, and he still suffers from chronic pain and weakness and can't lift the children. And we could look at it as this is a roadblock in our lives, and we're going to get over it and then kind of see God working despite it. But instead, we've grown to appreciate how God is working through it instead of in spite of those things. So it's perspective shifting is what that book is about.
Exactly. You know, we have a couple of texts of scripture that come to my mind when we think about this. We talk about every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning, in the book of James. And I try to remind the congregation that I pastor that the actual thought there is every good and perfecting gift. That sometimes these things, like the elbow situation, come into our life. And, you know, to say that these are good in line with what we think is good at the time doesn't seem real. You know, it seems like we're playing some sort of mind over matter game. But to see it good in the sense of all of these things are designed to perfect us, and they can be used, they're opportunities in that sense, in order to continue to mold us more and more into the image of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So is that the concept that you're talking about there, that we could, you know, use these things and look at these things this way?
Right. In the beginning of the book, I talk about a prayer that is attributed to Jonathan Edwards. It says, "Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeball," which is mind-boggling to think that you could look at everything from the perspective of eternity, to see all things in light of that. And that really does shape how you read the Bible, when you see that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Wow. Or 1 Corinthians 3, don't boast in men. All things are yours. So basically, we have a need to boast. Boasting is known void. And then all of Paul's statements about Christ being his treasure and worth more than all the accolades he ever earned, I think all of these things speak to a mother's heart, because we want so badly to be justified, to do a good job, to be to hear at the end of the day, "Good work, Mom. You did it. Nailed it." And you want to look ahead to your children's future and get them graduated from high school. But eternity teaches us that our children are eternal souls, and the impact that we make in their lives extends into the reaches of eternity, which is far past potty training. So it really does help us to see everything from eternal perspective.
Mm-hmm. You know, that idea about stamping in on our eyeballs, you know, to keep that as the goal before us and to live in light of eternity is so important. I think we have this propensity to forget. And I've just noted throughout the scripture how often we are called to remember. In fact, one of the ordinances that we have in the New Testament, right, the sacraments, is remember, that you would remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you are participating in the Lord's Supper, that do this in remembrance of me. One of the Ten Commandments says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and so forth. It seems that, you know, we have this propensity to forget, and I don't think, and I do think, I should put it this way, I put it in the positive, I think that in the busyness of life is where we have this most often tendency to forget and to bring into our daily living the great gospel truths. Is that the type of thing that you mean when you talk about parental amnesia in your book?
Exactly. I think parental amnesia, we forget that our children were made for eternity. We forget that we were made for eternity. We forget the Lord. I think as we go about our day, especially with young children in the home, it's kind of broken up into segments. As your child goes about their day, like, you think of it as before we go to school, while they're in school, when I pick them up from school, after school, in bed, next day, hit repeat. And we tend to see all of those things from the light of, here's my list of things to do. And then if something is awry in that list, we might tend to console ourselves with, well, it could always be worse. Or at least it's not as bad as my neighbor so-and-so over there. And so we would console ourselves with that. But really, we forget the bedrock consolation that we've been given in Christ. He says, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Mm. He doesn't say, take heart. Your neighbor's got it far worse than you. Take heart. You're such a big baby. take heart. I have conquered. I've risen, ascended, and I'm reigning. And we forget Christ, essentially.
I was just reading through 2 Peter chapter 1, and in 2 Peter, Peter is encouraging the saints and talking to them about grace and peace being multiplied unto them. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize that. Yeah, we have the grace that's given to us, but it can be grown and it can be multiplied, according to Peter here. And then he gives us a number of steps where, you know, how we can do that by these precious promises and giving all diligence to faith and knowledge and temperance and patience and all of these glorious things. But then he adds this line, and he says this in verse 9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." And I just thought about, you know, losing sight, like you're talking about, of eternity, so much so that Edward says we need to have it put on our eyeballs, is this spiritual myopia that can take place. We get too short-sighted and not able to see afar off, like Peter says. And then he actually says that we have forgotten that we're purged from our sins. And I thought, you know, how could somebody forget that they had been saved? But I think what he means is that we are living like without living in light of the fact that we our sins are forgiven. We've kind of gone back to almost living in our BC days before Christ and not bringing into our daily living all that Christ has done for us. It seems that in your book, you're bringing out gospel content like that. Am I on track?
Yes, exactly on track. That's exactly it. There is so much that we have to do. This world is so broken. Our sin is so great that if we forget what has taken place on the cross and live as though Easter never happened, or that it's still that Saturday and Jesus is in the grave and the disciples are dismayed, what will we do? If we live like that, then we will be, I think, handicapped in some way in our discipleship, in fulfilling the Great Commission, in serving joy and looking forward to see what God will do through suffering. We're not going to have strength to comprehend with all the things, all of the geometry of Jesus' love, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. We're not going to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge if we don't understand what's happened on the cross.
Amen. And bring that into our daily living. Let me ask you, Gloria, let's get real practical here for the moms that are listening about some of the ways that they can implement this and even go beyond just the implementation of it in their own life and look to other moms as well. Let's start with, first of all, there's a lot of interruptions or so-called interruptions that take place, obviously, with moms at home, with small children especially. But how can moms take those so-called interruptions and turn them into an opportunity to worship?
I think maybe seeing them as your spiritual service and worship. I don't know that there's necessarily anything that needs to be shifted into what you're actually doing, the acts of service that you're doing. But understanding that you've been saved by grace through faith, not your own doing. It's a gift of God, so you're not boasting in your word, because you've been saved by grace through faith. But knowing that Ephesians 2:10, that you're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you would walk in them. Mm. So knowing that this vomiting child in the hallway is something that God prepared beforehand, good works, that I will walk in this, Lord. And the way that we walk with the strength that God supplies so that Jesus gets the glory. Mm. That's 2 Peter 4. That's the manner in which we do it. Mm-hmm. So seeing that these are things that God has ordained for us to walk in, to serve the least of these even, is a blessing. And so in that way, that's how we see that it is worship.
Mm-hmm. There is an awful lot of advice that is be given, that's being given out to parents in general, moms in specific, on parenting techniques and so forth. I get a lot of the publishers, you know, send me books on a regular basis, and I get a lot of parenting books. What's your advice for the mom out there? You know, we're to the point now, you're not going to be able to read everything. You're going to have to mm-hmm. be very discerning about what to read and what not. What sort of advice do you have for them about what should be looked at and read versus what should be ignored?
Yeah, that's a fun question. Where we live in the Middle East, we live in a global city, so my family kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in our neighborhood. We're the only people who really kind of look like us. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is from all over the world, mostly from the Eastern Hemisphere, and all these people come from, most of these people come from communities where the ethos is really the village does raise the child, and so I've only really raised my children here since we've been here. Since 2008, we came when my oldest was a baby, and so I have grown quite accustomed to everybody just kind of mothering them along the way with me out in public. That's in church, whether we're walking down the street or in the aisle of the grocery store, in an elevator or at the train station. There's all kinds of advice about different things. Some things are funny because there's stuff that I just wouldn't connect the dots between in terms of parenting advice. And other things, I'm really thankful to see a different point of view. And so I don't really have time to read parenting advice, but in terms of hearing it from other people, I think my advice about the advice would be to line it up to see, is this something that fits within a Christian worldview?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure in the United States as well that this is an issue that you would hear parenting advice that does not line up with scripture.
Yes.
So I would see that at first, and I don't know that I could overemphasize how wonderful it is to be part of a church body, a local church where there are other women and other men who see your family all the time, often, and they know you, and they're not just throwing advice into the air at you, but they have seen your family, they see habits, they see blind spots, they have your best interest in mind, they have God's glory in mind, you trust them as well, and you've all covered into together in terms of raising up your children and through your knowledge of the Lord. So one would be look to the scriptures, two, look to your local church.
Mm-hmm. Gloria, do you take advantage of traditions? Some people say, well, you know, the Bible says your traditions have made the word of God of none effect. Therefore, you know, we don't do any traditions in our family. And so they just completely bypass any of this and really don't glean anything out of it at all. Do you take advantage of them? And how do you build the gospel into a family tradition?
Yeah, I'd say here it's probably just like in the United States. We have to take a distinctly Christian perspective on things. Otherwise, it'll just get muddled up into, oh, you're from the West, or oh, you're American, and that's why you do the things that you do, and that's why you celebrate holidays the way that you do. And so all the time here. For example, I was just at the doctor's office, and I made a comment to the doctor, and he said, he's a very religious, devout man, a non-believer, and I said, yeah, God is sovereign, he's good. And he said, yes, absolutely. And I thought, wait a minute. He agreed with me. And then, no, I have to be clear here. I'm referring to Jesus Christ as God, and he is sovereign, he is good. Oh, okay, no. This is where we differ. Like, exactly. So I think in our tradition, we have to anchor these things in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Mm. If it is an ethereal idea about God or fuzzy-wuzzy feelings of tradition that we always do that make us feel comfortable because it's familiar, then I think those things need to be shaped by the cross and looking at what it is Jesus came to do and what it is he's doing right now.
That's a very good point, and I think a point that we should implement here in the States as well. Sometimes we just go through the motions and it loses any sort of witness associated with it. I remember hearing one of the speakers, I think it was Scott Oliphant, on talking about covenantal apologetics, but he was mentioning the idea that we've got to get away from this notion that we're trying to make converts to deism. He said, we're making converts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just to get somebody to say that they acknowledge that there is a God, and not necessarily to get them to the place that they acknowledge the God of the Bible, you know, we really haven't achieved our objective, if that's all we're doing is getting them to acknowledge that there is a God. Gloria, a few moments left in the broadcast today, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to speak directly to the moms that are in our listening audience. What would you say to them right now? She's got, let's pick a mom. She's got two or three children, little ones. They're 6 years old and under, running around her feet. Having trouble finding this elusive thing called a quiet time to be able to spend with the Lord. She's exhausted from the late night staying up and dealing with the issues of raising young children and so forth. Her husband's job is in question right now because the economy is not doing so well. And she just is trying to remember that, Jesus said I have eternal life and I should have a joyous and victorious Christian living. Speak to that mom, and let me just let you have the final few moments of the radio broadcast here.
Thanks. I would tell her the same thing that I tell myself every day. I have to remind myself that God exists. He is real, and Jesus knows. He is not far off. He is an ever-present help in time of need. He has blessed us to the praise of his glorious grace. We've got redemption in his blood, forgiveness of our sins. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. As the God planned for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ. And so I would say that the tiny things that you're looking at that you could pick apart and say, these things annoy me, these things distress me, these things make me anxious, these things make me angry, these things make me depressed, all of these things are being united in Christ. He is gathering up all the tiny fractured pieces of the world, and he is redeeming and restoring all things under him. And the sky is going to peel back like a scroll, and the Son of Man will be revealed in all his glory, and we'll look at our short breath of a life and say, wow, Christ is all. He really is all. And we do have an opportunity today, in the midst of all the brokenness, to say, Christ is all, because he is. We can exalt him over all things because he is exalted over all things. So I would say that Jesus knows and he cares for you. He promised to be with you, that he's been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and in your discipleship work, in raising your children, which it is discipleship, that promise of his authority and his presence is yours. Mm. So you can walk by faith, knowing that Christ is carrying your burden for you. And you can walk by the Spirit as you resist the temptation to give up in the middle of all of it.
Well said, Gloria. Thank you so much for writing this book to encourage moms. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to speak with us for a few moments here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. It's something we really appreciate.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay. That was Gloria Furman calling all the way from Dubai this morning. And we're talking about her book, Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full. You can check it out at Crossway's webpage. That's www.crossway.org. John Frame tomorrow on the broadcast. You don't want to miss that. Remember this. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time right here on Knowing the Truth.